final hour of Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Happy to have you with us on a Tuesday afternoon and now into your Tuesday evening. And boy, I had to play that song. Love me some Poisman, some Poison rather. And you know what's fitting? Because it ain't nothing but a good time when we have our good buddy Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, on with us, and he's on the line with us right now. Al, how are you?
Pretty good, Bull. How are you doing? It's been a while, man. It's good to be on the air again.
Yeah, it's great to have you back on the air again. Oh, for a while there, you got really busy, and we had Michael fill in for you. But now that we've got you back on board, we're happy to have you with us here. And I want to begin with what went down at the box office this weekend. Boy, it's been a pretty tough summer at the box office with a couple of exceptions, and we'll dive into that later. But I want to begin with this weekend's leader, the Annabelle creation, $35 million domestically over the weekend at the box office. Why was this as successful as it was? It seemed like the reviews were somewhat solid.
Well, for one, it's kind of it's more of a surprising cinematic universe than like the Marvel stuff. But this whole Conjuring, because Annabelle came from, this new one came from the first Annabelle, which was a spinoff of the Conjuring movies, and it's one of the more surprising cinematic universes, but they're, I guess, well-done horror movies. If anyone knows me, they know my biggest fear in life is dolls and ventriloquist dummies. So you can imagine I stayed away from the theater for this one. But people love that stuff, man. And you get a horror film that has a decent, you know, pedigree. And, you know, for all intents purposes, I heard is, you know, filmed well. It's not like schlocky like a lot of the other horror films. And especially in this, like, summertime, you know, where there wasn't a lot of other big stuff coming out, it dominated it. People love a good horror film, and especially when there's not a lot of great alternatives. It's very easy to, you know, fill up the box office.
See, the doll thing doesn't bother me, because in real-life situations, like, there was some stupid movie that came out about 10 years ago. I don't know if it was called The Doll or if it was some sort of weird ventriloquist movie where this doll apparently could go inside of you and suck out your soul. And I said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If that stupid thing came near me, I would take it and spike it to the ground, and I'd watch it shatter into 1,000 pieces.
The Dead Silence
movie?
Dead Silence,
yes. There you go.
The pieces then, you know, gel back into another amorphous object, or the soul goes into another doll. You can never defeat it. That's why I hate them, because no matter how tiny it is, it's going to get you somehow.
I don't know.
The Child Plays movies were. And have you ever seen, my whole fear starts from the Twilight Zone, the old Twilight Zone episode with that friggin' ventriloquist dummy that comes to life and, like, kills people. Terrifying. And there's no way to stop it, Bull.
Yeah, I'm
no
with
way.
You. The Dead Silence at least gave you a good plot, because it was like the victims were sucked into the dolls there. She couldn't talk or something. I forget what it all was. It had Donnie Wahlberg in it. But the Child's Play one, that's the one that always got me. I mean, it was just a guy running around who was trapped in a doll. Why didn't you just kick him? I never understood. They just kick him. You got reach on him. I mean, even if he's holding a knife, you got reach on him. Just kick him.
Yeah, but he's tiny. He gets in crevices. You can't find him.
I guess. I don't know. I just always thought, everyone should be able to handle themselves against a little baby doll. They never did much for me.
You know what? You wouldn't last, Matt, because you're confident.
Right.
They'd get you very quickly.
You may be right on that. Now, I liked the Child's Play series, and I liked especially when they added Jennifer Tilly to it. I thought she added something to it, and I think they just recently did another one. But I don't know. I just never thought he was never as scary as Freddy Krueger or Jason Voorhees to me.
That's true. I agree with that.
Or Michael Myers.
Yeah. I'm still more terrified.
Fair enough. We've all got our little thing that we might be afraid of. So it's totally. Some people just can't stand clowns. They think clowns are more terrifying than anything else. So we've all got our thing.
No question. Mind you, I have a very long laundry list of things I'm afraid of. Ventriloquist dummies are just on the top.
Wow.
All right. Well, fair enough. Hey, like I say, everybody's got their thing, man. Well, it's been somewhat scary for the box office as a whole here, because they're going through a little bit of a summer slump. And it's just amazing to me how things can change. I think when we first had you on, Al, we were talking about how the spring was going to be pretty strong, and it was for the most part. But this summer, the revenue is already pacing 12% behind last year.
Yeah, I think we kind of talked about that earlier. None of these, like, movies, like we said, spring was really strong. It had a lot of, like, interesting, original, even if, like we said, Logan, which was part of the Wolverine series, was an original take on that. We had Get Up. We had some, like, really exciting movies. And in the summer, it's been a lot of the same old, you know? Like a movie like Annabelle, what, there was, like, a Fast and the Furious. There was a Guardians of the Galaxy. There was another Spider-Man, which, you know, was good. But
it was
not,
really,
like,
good.
Yeah, but it didn't do, you know, and then you had, like, Dunkirk, which I thought would do better than it did. But you're big. I mean, honestly, you have, like, you're waiting on Thor, which I think will do really big, which is, comes out in November, I think. You have, I mean, the biggest one of the year is going to be Star Wars, which doesn't come out until December. So it's like, I think just the scheduling of the season is very weird this year, at least. And the summer didn't, to me, didn't have, like, the knock out of the park movies. It also didn't have any, like, indie sleepers that usually have every year, you know, a good indie film that somehow blows the box office out, like Get Up or Get Out did, you know. You didn't have any of that this summer, which you normally do. So, and you didn't have, like, your smaller fare, like your rom-coms, your other stuff that kind of surprises more than it does. This was really a blockbuster-heavy summer. And besides, you know, a few outliers, it just wasn't, like, that strong of a lineup this year.
It just seemed like it was a bunch of sequels, I guess, from my opinion. There was nothing really original in there. I like Guardians of the Galaxy, but I've already seen it the one time.
Exactly. And then you hit, like we said, another Spider-Man, another Fast and Furious. Dunkirk was really the
Planet
only original thing.
Yeah, that's true.
And like we said, it was just, it wasn't, like, this spring was a lot more surprising than springs usually are. And the summer was just, like, it was what it was. And I think, I don't necessarily think this is a trend. I think this might have just been an outlier year. But if you look at next year, it's kind of the same with, I think, from what I heard, Avengers is coming out later on in the year. Black Panther is coming out in February. So it seems like they're sprinkling stuff out a lot more than just, like, driving it down in the summer. But we'll see how it goes next year.
Well, let's take a look at the next particular season then, and I think this kind of ties in a little bit with my next question, because there were some trailers that came out this week. You know, Jennifer Lawrence is in a new one called Mother, and I know there are some movies coming out this fall that have people at least to some degree intrigued. Now, the ones that are coming out in the summer months, or I should say in the fall months, rather, are there any that really stand out to you that you really want to go out and see opening weekend?
Well, you know, the fall is more of your, prestige pictures, your Oscar contenders, that kind of stuff. And there's a few coming out. Like you said, the Mother trailer came out today. The Molly's Game trailer came out, which is a poker movie, and Aaron Sorkin's directorial debut, which looks interesting. But the big ones for me are right now, ones that I don't think are going to be huge in the box office, but they might be huge in awards fair. And one of them is The Snowman, which is Tomas Alfredson's new movie. He's the guy who directed Let the Right One In and Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and I think is one of the best directors out there right now. And it's kind of a Fincher-like serial killer movie starring Michael Fassbender. But the way that he shoots and the cinematography, it looks like it's going to be a home run. And that comes out, I think, in November. And then you have another one. The big one for me and a lot of the, you know, the film buffs out there is Paul Thomas Anderson's new one that comes out in December, starring Daniel Day-Lewis, about the fashion industry. There's very little been said about it, but anytime a Paul Thomas Anderson movie comes out, it's always a big deal. And then, like you said, Mother looks interesting. And it's an Aronofsky horror film. Last one he did that was kind of in that realm was Black Swan, which was very interesting and got, you know, Natalie Portman her Oscar. So you could do the same with Jennifer Lawrence, give her another notch on her belt, and I'm interested to see what that's going to be like.
Huh.
Are there any, what are you interested in, Matt? What are the movies, anything that you're excited for in the fall?
That's a great question.
when does that new Kingsman movie come out?
Oh, yeah.
I have seen the trailer for that, and it's not very often that a sequel gets me too crazy excited, but this one in particular looks like it's got a chance to be better than the original. That's an outstanding cast.
I agree, and along with that, that's another movie that, you know, I think the original Kingsman, maybe I'm crazy. Well, I don't think it actually came out in the summer. But that's the type of movie that normally the sequel would come out in the summer, and they waited for it. So that's interesting to me that some of these blockbusters are coming out more in the fall. But to me, that one looks like a lot of fun. Julianne Moore as the bad guy looks great. And then you add Channing Tatum and Jeff Bridges into it. I'm in on that. And the first one was a lot more fun than I thought it'd be. So
sure.
I'm looking forward to that as well.
Just Colin Firth, I think, and that one's exciting too. I don't know. I'm looking forward, with Joss Whedon on board, I'm looking forward to the new Justice League movie when that gets going.
From what I heard, is the first cut they made of that movie was nearly unwatchable.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that
we'll
same thing.
What they can do on this new one, and I think it's more Joss Whedon taking over, so we'll see. But that's never a good sign when something's called unwatchable.
No, you wouldn't think it'd be much for it. But I will say, the fact that Joss Whedon's on this, he made the first Avengers movie out there. Everybody loved that. So I think when he brings his brand to it, it'll certainly change the way things go in the DC world, which I liked a lot of those superheroes a lot more. I mean, Batman needs another good movie. Christopher Nolan did him right. It's time for somebody else to do them right.
Agreed.
Okay, well, you said you saw Spider-Man, correct?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, you got to watch that. If for no other reason, Michael Keaton's performance was unreal. It was so good. So good. It's hard to look at that guy in that movie and think, man, this is the same guy that was Beetlejuice 20-some-odd years ago.
Well, he's Batman.
You know what?
And
I This weekend, I was able to catch up on an old Keaton movie that came out last year that was kind of overlooked, The Founder, which was about the beginning of the McDonald's industry.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays Ray Kroc, who is basically kind of a scumbag, just kind of stole the idea from the McDonald's underneath the brothers. And Michael Keaton plays it so well. He's so smarmy, and he's the lead in the movie. And it's hard to, like, you like him even though you know he's such, you know, he's ruining these two people's lives. But he is such a good actor, and it's so good to see this comeback that seemed really unlikely so long ago.
Yeah. No, I 110% agree with that, because, again, it felt like he disappeared for a while, but then he kind of resurfaced
stuff.
A little bit. He's been in some
stuff. He was like a Jack Frost and Herbie Fully Loaded.
He was in
a bunch of
the
bad
other guys.
Movies.
He was in the other guys.
You know,
that's right.
Birdman started it, and then with Birdman after that came Spotlight, and he's just been knocking down every role he's done since. And Bull, I'm going to take your lead on the transitions. Speaking of comebacks, I'm guessing the Val Kilmer thing you were telling me about earlier.
yeah. Give me the goods on
what
this.
What is
this? So Val Kilmer apparently is going to star in an Iranian American comedy called Firstborn.
How is that a thing?
Well, that's the most interesting thing about this whole thing. It's not just the Val Kilmer, you know, comeback that we've all been waiting for. It's more of this is the first ever time that an American-Iranian co-production has happened. They've never worked together before, the two countries, as far as in film goes. And that, to me, in itself is exciting. And it's basically about, the plot itself doesn't sound too interesting. It's basically an Iranian guy and an American woman decide to get married, and both their fathers are, the Iranian's anti-American, the American's anti-Iranian. So it's been done before, you know. With all sorts of races, it doesn't sound that exciting, except for the fact that, like we said, first co-production between the two countries and Val Kilmer emergence. I'm wondering if he's getting back in shape or it's going to be Fat Val again, but we'll see.
Should be interesting. No, you're right. There are some certain cultural angles on this that certainly make it very, very interesting. Before we cut you loose, my man, we got about a minute left.
Mm-hmm.
What picks to click do you have for us for this week?
Man, this has been really just a slow period in television, along with the box office. But it's Marvel Defenders comes out on Friday, which is finally, you know, they've been building it up with the Daredevil, Jessica Jones, the Luke Cage, and the Iron Fist series to finally put them back together. Pretty sure Sigourney Weaver is the bad guy, if I'm saying correctly. So there's some elements of it that sound pretty interesting. The first season of Daredevil was good. The first season of Jessica Jones was good. Iron Fist was not. Luke Cage was hit or miss. So I'm interested to see how they do on this one, which they have been building up to for about 4 years now.
Well, we're glad to have you back on board, my friend. We missed you the last couple of weeks, but we're happy to have you back on with us. We'll do this again next Monday as we get back on our regular schedule. But, Alan, it is always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Sounds great. I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right.